Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a special show for you guys today. We have an interview with the one and only Dorinda Make It Nice Medley. And speaking of Make It Nice, she's got a new book that's out next week, August 17th, called Make It Nice. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear my chat with her. Dorinda, to me, is a quintessential Real Housewife. And although she's not on the current season of The Real Housewives of New York, I miss her terribly. And to me, she will always be one of the greatest Real Housewives of all time. And hopefully she'll be back on our screen soon because I miss her. But in the meantime, I hope you guys will enjoy my chat. She's given us so many moments throughout the years, like Clip, Not Well, Bitch. Thank you, Giovanni. I also loved when she would have a couple too many martinis and they'd have to subtitle her, like when she was giving that speech to Luann and Tom before the wedding.
To blessings, I'm so happy that, you know, that I am part of this. And you felt like that. She's a face. You know, not a moment in time, not a moment that happens. Every once in a while, you know, you just know when it's right. And it's right.
There's a moment in time happens, and then there comes a moment in time and the blessings. Ah, I loved it, you guys. I love me some Dorinda Medley. Also, I wanted to play that clip of her. Remember the Halloween episode when she had the Lady Gaga outfit and she kept walking around the party telling people it was from Andy Samberg's people and then Adam Samberg and then Andy Slamberg. And it just kept morphing where this costume came from. And it was SNL, then it was NSL. It was such a wonderful moment. Hopefully we'll get some answers on where that Lady Gaga costume is. Which, speaking of, I know this is a bit of an aside, but did you guys see the House of Gucci trailer? Because I cannot wait for that film. Lady Gaga's in a new movie called House of Gucci, and she's doing a very exciting accent work. Now, I can't necessarily say that it's an Italian accent. I think it may be supposed to be, but whatever it is, I love it. When in the trailer, she's like, bravo, bravo. And I got more serotonin in that moment than I have in the past 2 years. We're all going to be going to see House of Gucci when it comes out. You hear me? We're doing a movie club or whatever. We're going to go see Adam Driver and Lady Gaga doing that accent because I can't wait for it. House of Gucci. I think it's out this fall or something. Honestly, the most anticipated movie of the year for me. Space Jam's already out, so now it's House of Gucci. That's all I'll be thinking about for the rest of the time. Bravo, bravo. Anyway, speaking of bravo, I'm going to play my chat with Dorinda Medley. Before I do, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. You can also get Everything Iconic merch available at everythingiconic.store. Order Dorinda's book, Make It Nice, out August 17th. And with all of that said, please enjoy my chat, Dorinda Make It Nice Medley. Dorinda Medley, she always makes it nice. Ah! She's got a new book out called Make It Nice. Dorinda, how are you?
Very excited. I've been the most excited about this podcast out of all the press I've done so far. Oh. Because Danny, you and I have very good banter. Our telephone calls could be a podcast.
Right. I know. This is going to be a little bit hard because I feel like we talk offline a little bit. And so I'm going to try to play dumb a little bit and ask you some questions, but
Now you got to be your professional self. You are no longer Danny. I call at 8 o'clock at night after 3 martinis. You're Danny. I'm professional Dorinda Medley and you are Danny Pellegrino, the huge influencer, Bravo TV aficionado and podcast extraordinaire.
Oh my God. I love you. Dorinda, tell me about the book. Like, tell me about how it came about, what the process was like. Let's start there.
I'm going to tell you, it was actually, as everyone knows, I know everybody's afraid to read you, but I was put on pause and it was during COVID and I was back in the Berkshires where it all started 100 years ago. And there was something about that trifecta that, you know, when Simon & Schuster came to me and said, please, let's do this. Let's write this book. I thought, you know what? It's time to make the shift. It's time to apply myself, distract myself, be in that moment, you know. As terrible as COVID is and was in quarantine, it did allow us a beautiful time to reflect. And I, as everyone knows, was up at BSM. And I really thought, this is interesting because I'm sort of in this pandemic. I'm on this pause and I'm back where it all started. Like I'm back home where Dorinda Medley, that girl in the tree, started and looked out and said, how the hell do I get out of this place? You know, I don't want to live and die here. I want to make it bigger, better, faster. And somehow it's come full circle. And I just stopped talking, stopped, like we all did, stopped running around. And I just started, I really treated it like a job every day. And I really decided early on I wanted to have it read like people could hear my voice. Like I was telling a story in my living room. You were sitting down and saying, tell me about Dorinda Sincala. Tell me about Dorinda as a young girl. And I'm hoping, especially that's why I did my own audiobook, because I just wanted, you know, people know my voice and people know I love a good story.
You're famous for saying, say it, forget it, write it, regret it. Is there anything in the book that you might regret?
How ironic.
Is there anything you're looking back and saying, I wish I didn't say that?
You know, I'm not a big regretter. You could tell, you know, that from the TV. I sort of like put it all out there and let people love me, hate me, have opinions and just keep it moving. I don't know if I regret it because it was whatever I said was true. I hope that people take it and don't, you know, I don't think I said anything that bad, but I just hope that maybe if not the people I wrote about, people that are in their lives now, don't think, you know, don't get jealous or get mad or get upset or maybe, you know, there's always that chance you take. I try to be very respectful, especially in the parts when talking about Richard, to make sure I did it from my point of view and not involve the children, because I really think that journey is theirs to tell and not mine to sort of. So I was very, very, very aware of what I was writing and my sort of experience through it. And that was really the hardest part of the book for me to write, because I knew it was coming. Like it was so easy to write about my childhood, write about my parents, write about my grandparents. And then we got closer to it. I'm like, oh God, it's coming. Because obviously that was such a huge part of my life and such a, you know, character building period.
Yeah.
And a shift, a major shift.
Sure. Talk to me about Diane, your mom. I mean, we've gotten little pieces about your relationship with your mom. And I always feel like I relate to you on a different level because, and I was reading this in the book that you're Italian and Polish, which is what I am as well. My mom's Polish, my dad's Italian. And but talk to me about Diane. Has she read the book?
I don't think she's read the book yet. She read the first page and then cried, you know, the dedication. She's definitely read the cover a million times. My father's so cute. He's like, Dan, look at that girl. Can you believe that's our daughter? Look at her. Look at that girl. Look at how fancy she is. I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, they'll read it. But my mother knows how I feel about her. And, you know, my mother is such a huge part of my life and such an anchor and such a foundation. And she's really given me the best tools ever to, you know, go out in the world and have the confidence to venture and try and fail. And she's given me the best set of tools, which is being a carrying on, you know, the gift of motherhood. You know, for me, a good mother is just so valuable. Nothing can go wrong as long as you have a good mother. It just can't.
Totally.
My mother used to always say, we're a little, oh boy, you know what, because, you know, my mother's so funny because she's sort of that old Italian that, you know, salt of the earth. There's going to be no in between when, God forbid, she leaves this earth. She's going to go straight to sainthood. But she'll, you know, she does like good gossip. My mother used to say, if the father's bad and the mother's good, the family's good. But if the mother's bad and the father's good, no chance. They got no chance.
Right. You know, on the show, you used to say, I have heard you say nerved up before, like when somebody gets nervous. And that's something my grandmother always said. And my mother says it as well. But it always was like, I've never heard anyone else use that phrase before. And then I've heard you on the show. And I was like, oh.
I said something the other day. Soften the TV, my mother would say.
I love that.
Did your mother say that? Soften the TV? Soften the TV.
Somebody said that. I think my aunt might have said that.
Danny, just by the way, I don't want to sidebar, but I have not gotten over. I've told the story to a million people about your father misplacing you at Disneyland. I love that old-fashioned, no responsibility. We misplaced him, and he says it on tape.
He said he admitted it on tape. He just misplaced me. And yeah, it was a family secret. For years, I thought I made this story up that I got lost because I remember being lost at Disneyland. or Disney World. And then I found this tape where my dad admits it, but he calls it misplaced. I know that's an Italian thing.
But you didn't get lost. You got misplaced.
I was lost. They are lying to all of us. I was lost. I remember being lost and trying to find my way. Dorinda, I got to switch gears. So a lot of people don't know this. When you had found out about the Roni quote unquote pause or not coming back for the next season, you had also just lost a very dear friend to you, I think that same day or same week. And I could imagine the emotional toll of that. What was that like?
Well, you know, John Giswell, who I love, who was the creator of Dorobics with me that lives on, and such a great, John Giswell was one of these people, you know, I have people, I collect really wonderful people in my life, and everyone's, and it's a very tight group. And you see that in the book, that I kind of collect people and they stay with me for a long time. I don't have millions of friends, but the people I have are really my chosen family. And he was one of these guys that I just was like, I fell in love with, and we were so close. And I just spoken to him like that Saturday, and he had an operation, then we were going to start this big aerobics thing again. And we talked every morning at 5:30 because he was up with me at 5:30, 6 o'clock. He died on like that Sunday. And then they put me on pause on Tuesday. And I really was, it was just so like, it was two deaths in 1 week. And you got to remember at that point, I'm thinking I'm going back. I mean, I'm making a Bluestone Manor gingerbread house for Christmas. I'm thinking about how COVID friendly these things. So it really threw me. But, you know, I just sort of like looked at it as I had to change it up in my mind and just hear it for what it was. And, you know, my mother said something very interesting at the time. She said, if you know then what you know now, or if you know now what you know then, or something like that, whatever my mother said, if you would know then what you know now, you're going to be thankful that you were given this time to do other things and grow. Because, Dorinda, you do the best when things change up. And it is true. Every 6 years, things seem to change for me. I don't know what it is. 6 years, and it's like, boom, God says, okay, we're done with that. Let's change the music. You know, I'm waltzing, I'm having a great time. I think it's my life. And God's like, it's like the, you know, where you do the duck, duck, goose thing. Mm-hmm. And I have to get up and start running again. But I do well in those moments. And, you know, I think it was, I got so many great things out of it. I got to spend this time with my parents that I hadn't spent in years because I'm always so busy and involved and engaged that I drove like, hey, mom, bye, mom. You know, I got to have time to write a book that I could really write and sit in up at Bluestone Manor without a lot of outside noise. I got to be safe. You know, I was very COVID aware. I mean, I was one of these people that, you know, didn't take it seriously. Like, I was afraid of COVID and am afraid of COVID and was very afraid of it for my parents. And I just got to really be still and enjoy Bluestone Manor, which I've developed such a different relationship with. I've always loved it, but now I love it. Like, I have to go back to the city tonight and I don't want to go.
Right. Dorinda, I also got to say that you lucked out because this is the worst season of Roni that we've had. And I think largely because you were not on the program. Did you miss it at all?
You're always going to miss it. Listen, you know, it's like when the first year out of college, you know, when you're first out of college and you're happy to be out of, you know, it's okay that you're out of college, but you're like, oh, I can't believe everybody's going on spring break. And the only thing that was lucky for me is that I think it would have been a lot harder if it weren't COVID and it was, you know, New York booming and they were running around doing all the parties in a weird way because no one could do anything. It sort of was out of sight, out of mind. I could get my head around that. But, you know, I didn't leave on a bad note. You know, it's just, I would hope in their mind that they weren't, I don't think they perceived it as negative. I think in the long run, it actually was a blessing. I think I got to grow in a different way. And I think my audience sort of, which was such a nice thing for me. And I'm not saying this to be at all narcissist or, but people were so vocal about me not being there that, you know, that's always good for your ego and stuff. Right.
Right.
And, you know, if they make a decision or I make a decision and things are different, who knows? You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
I want you back, or I want there to be like a separate Bluestone Manor show. You know, I would love that, but
can you imagine that? Can you imagine this house, filled with it, doing a whole Bluestone Manor show up here with a bunch of people? That would
give
be
it
wild.
To me. I want it now. I would sign me up. But you know,
you're like the 10th person that has said that.
I mean, I think it'd be great. I think that's the thing. Almost obviously, of course, we miss you, But those trips to Bluestone Manor were always the most epic part of the whole season.
Well, you want to hear what's so funny about you saying that? After I announced that I was, you know, taking, I don't even know. I almost feel awkward even saying it. Because like, even every time I talk to Annie, I'm like, well, when I got fired, you're not fired. You're put on pause. Like, he's always, there's that weird word because no one ever heard that word before. Right. So, you know, people were, I remember one text was like, oh my God, no more Bluestone Manor, no more Len. I was like, really?
Yeah, we miss Len. I miss Bluestone Manor terribly. Are you still in touch? I think you're still in touch with Bethany. You were on her HBO show. How is she doing? And then I also want to know that you're close with Carol too in real life. And I'm curious how to manage the two of them. Because you are
there's no managing it. You know, I have a lot of friends like that in my life. Like I don't get my friendship with the person is my friendship with the person. And I, even when I lived in London, I had some people that were artists and some people that were sort of the, you know, people, Lady and Lord McTaggart and all that. And they, you know, the two worlds never meet. I'm very good. You know, I'm like a zookeeper. You know what I mean? Like when I'm with polar bears, I do that. When I'm with the penguins, I do that. You know, when I'm with, but I never let them both go into each, you know, if they don't want to go into each cages, I say, fine, I'll go visit you, you know, tomorrow. And my friendship with both of them is good. You know, they're both great, great girls. And Bethany's a great girl and obviously extremely smart and successful and funny as shit. You know what I mean? She's a plethora of funny remarks. It just, and you know, Carol's been a great friend, you know? It's nice that I've been able to take away those friendships from the show, because now the friendship's not about being on the show. It's about, we really like each other.
Right. Whose side were you on in that whole feud?
Yeah, Danny, how dare you, sir?
You know, I had to ask.
Shame on you. How dare you, sir?
I was Team Carol, but
what's that got to do with my Make It Nice book?
You know what? Everyone's going to buy the Make It Nice. We're going to make all the Everything Iconic listeners buy the Make It Nice book. It's fantastic. Here it is. Look how gorgeous that cover is.
Where books are sold.
And not only can people get the hardcover, they can also get you reading the audiobook, which is fantastic.
Yes, with this beautiful voice.
But so you were Team Carol then?
I will not answer that. I was team both of them. Listen, yeah, no, you know what the word, you know what the truth is? I wanted them to just get along again. I think they had a great friendship. And I think that if we just got one more season of them together, I think they would have sort of,
it always ends. And I
think if they have one more season, you know, it's just like I always say, think to myself, I come back this season, well, maybe not this season because of COVID and stuff. I think I would have had a great season. Because everybody has a, you know, bad season, and then the resurrection, the good, the bad, you know.
Right. It's a roller coaster. And I always thought, like, yes, I didn't think you had a good season last season, but I do believe that you would have come back.
Yeah, but I had it. But you know what? Funny how it is. I spoke the truth.
Okay, wait. I want to do, you brought this up. So I read between the lines a little bit while I was watching you. And I do want to say up front that I liked Tinsley and all of that good stuff.
I liked
Tinsley a lot, but I read between the lines of you saying, we're all pretending and this is supposed to be a reality show. And so I thought you were getting upset that it was becoming too sort of, we're all
Cinderella.
Acting. Right. Is that,
yeah,
am I
well,
reading
no, no.
that?
I think that it is. I think, no, listen, I like Tinsley too. And I wish Tinsley well. And I actually called her right after texted her right after the whole thing happened. And I don't want to address that because that's her life and her thing. But I just think for me, let's talk about me. For me, when I'm on the show, I feel like what you guys see, good, bad, or otherwise, is the truth. Like if I have to break up with John, I have to bring up John. If my life is a disaster, my house is flooded, I have to bring it up. I have to, you know, put it all out there. Like there's no, and I just found it a little bit awkward considering the history that we all knew that we just couldn't have an honest conversation. And as women, how we would be supporting a situation where probably I didn't believe was going to be healthy. But that was my opinion. And I just thought that being my honest opinion, right, wrong, or other, it was okay to say.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more of my chat with Dorinda Medley. I also want to thank Acast for all episodes of Everything Iconic. Go to acast.com/everythingiconic. Yeah, 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 yeah. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues.
your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Did they ask you to cameo this season? Like, was there ever a
thing?
No. Would you go back? Would you, I mean, I should say, would you want to go back? Let's say they call you and they're like, come
you
on
know,
back.
You, just, you know what's so funny? I try not to think about that and think about it in that way, because you know, you just, if you start going down that road, you start to be that housewife that worries if they're going back or not. If you just sort of live, you know, and I'm really lucky because I have the book and I'm doing a great thing with Airbnb, and I'm doing the great thing with Nutrisystem as their ambassador. And I'm, you know, I'm launching a bourbon and launching a candle, and I try to, you know, keep myself enjoying, you know, being up here. And I just don't, I would hate to, you know, I just don't know what's the word. If the show is, I don't know if I would be, I would hope I'd be right for the show still. I would hope that I could fit in and be a good character, but I just don't know. Maybe they're going in a different direction. Who knows who's going to come back next year? Who knows what the show is going to look like next year? You know what I'm saying? We're in a new world now.
Yeah, it seems like I'm not even sure that they know what's going on next season. But you mentioned,
I mean, I think, let's put it this way. I think if you brought back the whole old crew and maybe the new girls too, and threw them all in together, and would that be a fun show? And would I want to be on that? Yes. I mean, I think it would do well, and it would be the new girls, the old girls, a big cast, have fun, throw them all in there. You know, everybody should loosen up a bit. You know, don't be worried if someone's having a drink or having a little bit too much fun. Let the games begin. Come up to Bluestone Manor. Put up a Christmas tree. Yeah, that I would like to be part of it. I don't know if I, you know, if it's a totally different show, if me or even maybe any of the other girls fit in. I just don't know what the direction is anymore.
Yeah. You mentioned Nutrisystem. Were you a Marie Osmond fan? I had her on the show, and my mom.
Are you
like,
kidding me?
Right.
I was on Watch What Happens Live with Marie Osmond. I fell madly in love with her. She's amazing in all ways.
A legend.
Like, and she's beautiful. She is beautiful. It was one of my happiest times when I found out I was on with Watch. I mean, she's a legend in my mind. I grew up with her. I'm a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll. Remember that? I mean, and she's beautiful. I mean, we had so many things in common, in fact, except the fact that she's never had a drink in her life. That's where we really went to the bar. That's when she started. But yeah, she's like, and then when I got, when they asked me to do Nutrisystem, because I was getting fat during COVID, like I was eating like the world was ending. Like every day I was going through the New York Times list and making those recipes and pairing them with wines and drinking liqueurs afterwards in front of the fire. Like
it felt like the end of the world. I mean, I got a bread maker, and it's like, I didn't need to make bread every night, but we all did it.
So when Nutrisystem called me up, they said, listen, we just, you love you so much. You always make it nice. I was like, oh, thank you. And we would love to talk to you about being an ambassador for Nutrisystem. I was like, I am both incredibly honored and highly insulted. Okay. But I lost 16 pounds.
But you know, it's a, yeah, and you get to work with Marie.
I lost 16 pounds.
You look great. You look great. I thought you looked great before, but it's all about how you feel. You know, it's not even so much about the numbers. It's like how you feel in your own body.
Oh, it was about the numbers, because when I put on my jeans, I was like, who wears these sort of clothes? They're very constricting. Like now my jeans fit. And also too, like you're on with Marie Osmond. Like when I was on the commercial and she says, hey, Dorinda, how do you, I'm like, love that's it. Iconic.
Yeah. Amazing. It's amazing. Dorinda.
When I'm an old lady, someone's going to see that and be like, Dorinda Matley was with Marie Osmond.
It's truly amazing. Dorinda, speaking of iconic, is there a favorite moment that pops up online from your time on the show that you love to see? There is one that has been popping up more and more. It's you and Bethany saying it's bad. And I think it's at Maddie Caps or at Maddie Recaps on Twitter, he had posted that video at first, but I feel like it comes around all the time now and it makes me laugh so hard.
I forgot about that. It's bad. I know it's bad. It's really bad.
It's so good. No, it's bad.
And Hannah's like, you're such an asshole. The poor girl's crying. You're like, no, bad.
But you needed her to accept it. You said you speak about all these other things and I need you to finally accept that it's bad. And she's like, it's bad. Sometimes you need someone to say that to you.
I'm like, no, it's really bad.
Is there a favorite out of all of these moments? Of course, we have clips, say it, forget it, make it nice, all these.
I love the saying, but I love the fact that poor Candace Bushnell has no idea what's going on. And somehow she got dragged into it. You know, Candace is like, she's so nice. And, you know, we know each other, but we don't know each other so well to be. And I was in such a moment. And she's like, hey, Dorinda, how you doing? And I'm like, I tell you how I'm doing. How well, Ben. She's like, what?
I miss you on the show.
She got dragged into it. And she didn't even know. She's got that look on her face like.
Oh, my God. I love it. Do you have any regrets from your time on the show? Is there one moment that you mentioned you don't really have regrets, but.
You know, listen, I think at the time I didn't, but I think that I'm not a big regretter person. There's times I was embarrassed, but you know, I think sometimes I think it's regrets, you know, probably when I got a little bit too dull, those drunken speeches, but they were funny. Besides, I didn't hurt anybody. Who cares? You know, they were all funny. They all turned out fine. They created storyline. You know, the great thing about a lot of those situations, they may have been uncomfortable for others, but we could talk about it for 3 more episodes.
There you go. There you go.
You know what I mean? Giovanni, Giovanni, Giovanni. That was a whole season. One shout out, Giovanni, Giovanni, the memes were made, you know, people, bad eyeballs. We had a whole season about that, right? You know, great that I did that? Probably not. But would I take it back? No, because we had a great season off in it.
True. You know, I'm a little tired of the Luann Cabaret stuff. And I know that's controversial of me to say because I've always supported all of her music. But now I'm kind of getting to the point where I've had enough. It's bad.
Well, I think it's back on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's back on. It's back on. Do you still keep in touch with any of the gals? Are you still talking to women who are on the show? You're still.
I talked to Luann. I text with Sonia. Sonia's hard to get a hold of because she's always traveling so much. She's like at her own traveling show. Leah, I talked to. And every once in a while, Ebony gives me a shout out. She did that on Watch Rappers Live. She'll send me a DM. She seems like, I think Debbie and I would really gotten along well.
I think she just sort of came in at a weird time, obviously with COVID and there was your absence. So I think it was just a weird time.
And I think it would have been great. I would have been a great sort of connector. There was just too much of a thing between Ramona Singer and Ebony Williams. You know, it's just like the gap. Right. Like I'm pretty good at like filling the gap up.
Yeah. Okay. I know I got to let you go.
I miss doing Leah's second season because I think we kind of developed a really fun friendship that I don't think people really realized last year. Like we were really, I developed a nice friend. Oh my God, that sucks. Hold on. You know, we talk quite a bit.
Right. Quick questions before I let you go. Do you still have the Lady Gaga, Andy Samberg, NSL costume, the Halloween costume?
It's so funny you bring that up because Hannah wanted that. Hannah's like, where is that whole thing? No, do you know by the time I got home, every ball was gone. Do you know that they were all over the Cavs? They were all, when they were cleaning up, JP was like, your balls were everywhere. I mean, that was the craziest costume. There's another great speech. We could go home,
that was
drink
so good.
Wine, watch Ghosts. And Carol's like, okay, and tell our deepest, darkest secrets.
Oh my God, I love it. John, are you still in touch with John? I know
just
people are going to want to know.
Just took John out for his birthday the other night with his parents.
How's John doing?
John's doing good. You know what? I don't get rid of people, Danny. I'm like the mafia. Once you get into the Dorinda circle, you're on the train.
Dorinda, were you a Sopranos fan? Obviously, everyone has made the connection between you and Edie Falco, of course.
Oh, when I saw Edie Falco once, she looked at me and I looked at her like we'd seen a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? You guys have the same vibe. Are you going to... I'm so excited for they're doing that prequel movie and I can't wait. I don't know if the Edie character, Carmela, will be in it, but they're doing like a Sopranos thing. Okay, favorite Housewives trip?
I love the trip to Mexico that we did where we went to the agave, the place where I almost, when I put the knife through my hand. that was a fun trip. Where we did the helicopters.
Anything you could tell me about the boat ride from hell? Like anything you could spill about that crazy boat ride?
It was terrible. It was terrible. It was scary. And it was just, but it was great TV.
It was. It was.
And I'm going to tell you something. I was so in it when I'm in the Housewives. I was like, okay, that's great. It was a great TV. They're like, we almost died. I'm like, but was it great TV?
I love the little footage. There was like cell phone footage. I think Bethany maybe took of it. And as the viewer, I'm like, I need more. Like, why didn't anyone else turn on their phones? Like, I need.
Yeah, that was on my cell phone. I still have it.
Oh my God. Will you text it to me, please? Oh my God. Oh my God. Dorinda, I'm going to let you go. Anything else you want to tell people about the book? I want everyone to pick up Make It Nice.
Wherever
books are sold, you get on Amazon, you get an independent bookseller, wherever you want to get your book, you get it.
Danny, you want to
Audible?
Danny, you should come to New York and throw my book party.
I would love to. I would love to. And I want to come to Bluestone Manor. You know, I'm dying.
Come there. Will you come? You'll come up with Tim. And I've got a beautiful tote bag and a nice mug for you.
Ah, I love you, Dorinda.
And a Bluestone Manor candle.
I got a Dorinda prayer candle right behind me. I don't know. I forget who sold
this. I never did those prayer candles because I was afraid. As a Catholic, I'm afraid it's sacrilegious. My Diane Sincala wouldn't like that.
I'm sorry. I'll get rid of mine.
No, I mean to sell. People are always offering me to sell me as thing. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, my mother would have none of that. Listen, you know what I did yesterday? Yesterday I came in. And my mother came to visit me and I had all those, I have those holy candles that your mother picks up for you that you light whenever you're in trouble. I'm like, oh my God, I lost my phone. Let me light the candle. Oh my God, I think I'm scared. Let me light the candle. Oh my God, I'm going on a trip. Let me light the candle. Like the candle thing is my thing. I'd light it for everything. You got a problem, I'll light your candle. So I had a bunch of empty ones of them. I'm like, Mom, can you what do I do with the empty ones? She goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, can I throw them away? What are you, nuts? I was like, she goes, bring them back to the church. I was like, are you kidding me?
You can't throw them away, Dorinda. You can't.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, Dorinda, I'm calling on Bravo to bring you back. We need you for next season. And if not, I'm going to need them to give you a Bluestone Manor show. Just like
maybe a Christmas special.
If you do a Christmas special, I'm coming for that. Like,
happy
holidays. You have to invite
me
for that.
The Christmas tree situation is off the charts this year. In fact, we're going to do a podcast from Bluestone Manor at Christmas. Wait till you see. I'm not doing real trees except one. I'm doing a Candyland theme. You wait.
And Dorinda, I have to point out to listeners that you called me, I think, in like March or April in front of your Christmas tree this year. And it was it made me like the happiest. Like you still had your tree up. You were like, it's COVID. We're keeping the tree up. We need the spirit. And that's why
it's
I love it so much.
Oh, Danny, Dorinda, I'm so happy. That was fun. I look forward to it all day. Be well.
You too,
I'll
Dorinda.
Call you
thank
after
you.
Two martinis tonight.
Okay. Bye, Dorinda. All my love.